Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about a final description of the heretics. So let's open our Bibles and read Jude verse 16 again together. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Now, in this verse, Jude says that the false teachers who creep into the church to deceive the simple are five things. They are grumblers. They are those who find fault. They are those who follow their own lusts. They are those who speak arrogantly. And they are those who flatter people for the sake of gaining an advantage. And on today's broadcast, I want to examine the fourth description that God the Holy Spirit gave to Jude. Jude says, those who creep into the church to bring in false teaching are those who speak arrogantly. Now, again, I want to look at this fourth description that Jude gave us because there's so much in this verse that we need to understand. The phrase that Jude used here to describe these deceivers is very important to us so that we may recognize the same thing when it occurs today. The phrase speaking arrogantly was used only twice in all of Scripture. Once here in verse 16 of Jude, and the other back in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 through 19. So let's read that passage together. These are springs without water, mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Now the Apostle Peter uses the phrase, speaking out arrogant words, and then links that phrase to another word, vanity. So what Peter is saying is that the heretics speak arrogant words of vanity. And the word that was translated here into vanity, into English as vanity, is the Greek word metaotes, which means to be devoid of truth and appropriateness, to be perverse and depraved. Now, normally the word vanity has to do with pride and arrogance, but this particular word doesn't mean that at all. Metaotes has to do with the natural perverseness and depravity found in those who were lost. The word metaotes was only used three times in the entire Bible. The first one is in the passage that we just read in 2 Peter. The next time the word is used to describe the carnal and depraved mind of the lost, in Ephesians 4:17 it says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility or the metaotes, vanity of their mind. And the third time that this word is used is found in Romans 8 verse 20. For the creation was subject to futility, there's metaotes again, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Again, the use of metaotes here is referring to the perverseness of the sinful condition that all lost people have and of how terrible that sinful nature is to God. So Peter is linking the false teacher's use of arrogant words to the utter depravity of an unsaved, unregenerate mind of those who are lost. Again, this confirms what verse 4 of Jude told us about these deceivers. These people are not saved people who are just a little bit off on their theology. But these certain persons are marked out beforehand for condemnation. Let's read verse 4 of Jude again. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to say to us that those who infiltrate the church and through their own personal lives and through their teachings turn the grace of God into something wicked, those who, through false teaching, deny the character and nature of God, those who attack the person of Jesus Christ in either His full divinity or His full humanity, they are not sincere but misguided souls. These people are, in fact, what the Bible declares them to be, ungodly persons who are marked out beforehand for condemnation. So they are in a completely different category than your average Joe on the street who doesn't handle the Bible correctly. Brothers and sisters, the reality is that most of us are off on our theology in some way. Most people's understanding of the Word of God is haphazard at best in our day. Now, when I say that, please don't think that's because it's that because that is true that it's okay, because it's not okay. It's wrong. And historically, it has never been like this before. The Bible is not taught, nor is it learned as it should be in our day. It is not studied. It is not read. It is not pondered. It is not discussed. And therefore, it is not understood like the Bible has always been understood throughout the 2,000-year history of the church. For nearly a century now, the American church especially has emphasized subjective aspects of life at the expense of objective aspects. We have placed great importance on relational things and our feelings, how we feel about issues, rather than how we think about them. And we've done this for so long that today our minds are really not engaged in any deep, serious, or eternal matters. God wants us to be passionate about our love and our devotion to Him, but we cannot sustain that passion long term without objective truth. And the absence of clear, deep, cognizant thinking has caused our passion to become shallow and superficial and purely emotional, and that has cheapened it. You see, dear friends, passion is like a river. When the river overruns its banks and flows out, it quickly loses its depth. It is free from the restrictions of the bank. Yeah, it is. But the result is that it becomes shallow. When the river is shallow, it cannot sustain life. Neither is it productive. When a river overflows its banks, it is always destructive. The only way that a river can run deep is that it be enclosed on both sides by the banks. The banks cause the river to be deep because they define the river. And as long as the river is deep, it is able to sustain life, and it is able to be productive and not destructive. And that's the way it is with us. We yearn to be free, so we resist any effort to confine us. But pure freedom, unrestrained liberty without the steadfast restrictions of divine truth, causes our freedom to become anarchy, and that leads us into even more bondage. So although we strain against the restrictions of truth, only truth will define us, and only truth will sustain our depth. So we need truth. We depend upon it to allow us to flow both deep and strong. The truth is, the truth that we need to define us and to allow us to be deep is the Word of God. Without that divine, inerrant, infallible truth guiding us, our freedom in the Spirit always turns into lasciviousness and error very, very quickly. False teachers know this, and they manipulate our natural urge to be free, and they feed us with partial truths and half truths and outright lies so that we will willingly go into error and destruction. The words that manipulate our urge to be free are those arrogant words that both Jude and Peter were talking about. These are those particular words that swell our heads about ourselves, that cause us to become important in our own eyes rather than God. And the result is that what we like and what we call good are those things that personally benefit us, regardless of God's will. Our Lord said that along with loving Him with all our hearts and with all our strength and with all our souls, that He commanded us to love God with all our minds. So we need to revive our minds and renew our minds through deep, serious, line upon line, precept upon precept study of the Scriptures, and we need to engage ourselves in ongoing, serious discussions of deep, eternal, profound matters, so that we may think biblically, and so that we will begin to allow our minds to re-enter the arena of worship. True worship, the sort that God seeks after, is not purely spiritual. It is spiritual and it is glorious, but it also contains another element that our current platform and model in the modern church has marginalized. And the other part is truth. without knowing just who we are worshiping, we cannot possibly worship Him with any degree of fullness. Without some concept of God's glory and God's power and God's holiness and God's righteousness, without some concept of who God is that has been learned through studying God, our love for God will be vague, and therefore it will always be shallow. For example, when we eliminate the hard sayings of Jesus and the difficult passages of Scripture and the complicated concepts of the Bible from our study, and we just stick with the basics and the simple and the easy, we are not loving and worshiping God with our minds. We are copping out to an easy gospel that comforts us and that makes no demands on our lives. But we have to understand, dear friends, that much about what Jesus said is profoundly disturbing. In fact, some of it is downright frightening. And yet we are commanded to read and study and believe and teach and preach and love and obey those parts too. As humans, we have a need to hear that God loves us, and we have a great need to know that He is merciful, and that He will forgive us, and that He is good, and those things do describe our Heavenly Father, and those things correctly bring us great comfort. God is love, and everything about God is love. All that's true. But along with love, God is also righteous, and He is holy. And while it is true that His holiness and His righteousness do not outweigh His love, it is also true that His love does not outweigh His righteousness and His holiness. You see, love without responsibility, love without duty, love without self-sacrifice causes us to presume upon God's grace and mercy. We tend to not appreciate or value God's love without the knowledge of our own unworthiness and sinfulness being ever present before us. So while we may rejoice in God's love, we must not use God's love as an occasion to sin and then justify our lack of obedience, because that would be to devalue God's love and to cheapen it. So Jude is telling us that the deceivers emphasize parts of truth in order to de-emphasize the other parts by giving us arrogant words designed to motivate us into falsehood and error. And this is why Paul and Peter and James and John and Jesus and Jude all spoke about ravening wolves who would come in to destroy the sheep. They each one talked at great lengths about liars and false prophets and false teachers who would subvert the right way of the Lord, and who would cause people to run aground on their faith, and who would lead many into hell. And they all spoke often about the need to know sound doctrine and the great need that we all have to defend the truth against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And they all spoke about the need for all of us to know Scripture, and that is what the Epistle of Jude is all about. And that's what I am preaching about on these broadcasts. We live in such a climate today when doctrine is so downplayed that very few people have all their ducks in a row. But because that's true doesn't mean that we shouldn't work very hard to correct this problem, because it is a real serious problem. Heresy is real, and it is serious, and it is deadly. And since heresy is real, heretics are real. Heretics and apostates and false teachers have attacked the truth ever since there was a truth. And God raised up men all throughout church history to confront false teaching so that we would have the benefit of reading a Bible that was not corrupted, and so we could hear the true gospel in our day. If the heretics of centuries ago would not have been confronted like they were by men who loved the truth, we would not know the truth today. So thank God that people were willing to stand up and fight for the truth even when it was unpopular. And this is why we all need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.